Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantaraja Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Kiriraj Maharaj ki, Vedita Gopremanandi.
Thank you all for coming. I'd like to welcome Sukadeva Prabhu to the class for the first time. Thank you for coming. Blessing us with your association. Okay, so tonight we're going to go and continue with Canto 7, Chapter 10. Tonight we'll go from verses 39 to 45. And then next Monday there will be a
revision
of chapter 6 to 10 next Monday. Then on the Tuesday we'll finish chapter 10, and then the following Monday, which will be the 12th, we'll have the closed book exam. The open book exams were due last night. Any exams which are coming in later than today, they'll start incurring a penalty. You'll lose marks. So good. You had 2 months' notice, so no excuses for anyone. Oral presentations. Did you send an email out about the oral presentations? We'll send it out tonight. Oral presentations we'll have to look at because Sita Raja is in hospital, so it's you two plus Merle possibly. May have to do some extra. Okay. We'll send an email out to everyone and then can do some extra presentations. Little Mai, sit down quickly. Just sit. This operation was successful. Okay, so tonight we'll continue, and then next week we will do the revision, and then we'll finish the section. Then the week after that we'll begin chapter 11, and from 11 to 15 we'll hear about the Varnashram system. Very interesting part of the Bhagavatam, important part of the Bhagavatam. Okay. So tonight we'll continue from verse 39. Not only Shishupal and Dantavakra, but also many other kings who acted as enemies of Krishna attained salvation at the time of death. Because they thought of the Lord, they received spiritual bodies and forms the same as his. Just as worms captured by a black drone obtain the same type of body as the drone. Ananda Balabhapur, would you like to read?
The mystery of yogic meditation is explained here. Real yogis always meditate on the form of Vishnu within their hearts. Consequently, at the time of death, they give up their bodies while thinking of the form of Vishnu and thus attain Vishnu Loka. Vaikuntha Loka, where they receive bodily features the same as those of the Lord. From the 6th canto, we have already learned that when the Vishnu Dutta came from Vaikuntha to deliver Ajamila, they looked exactly like Vishnu, with 4 hands and the same features as Vishnu. Therefore, we may conclude that if one practices thinking of Vishnu and is fully absorbed in thinking of him at the time of death, one returns home back to Godhead. Even enemies of Krishna who thought of Krishna in fear, Aya, such as he comes up, received bodies in a spiritual identity similar to that of the Lord.
So what are the points of interest so far? One of things. Yeah. Good. Any other points?
different to what he understands so far. As far as sitting in a spiritual body, similar to Lord, there's no problem.
Counsel.
Shishupala, sitting in a spiritual body at all. He was inimical to their position, was not in their presence, not to see the spiritual body.
It's mentioned, though, that some of these personalities, some of the demons, they attained a form similar to Krishna's in Vaikuntha. So it has been mentioned. Any other points? Okay. So this is a famous verse. The example is given that at the time of death, as Krishna explains to us in the Bhagavad Gita in the 8th chapter, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, whatever you are meditating on at the time of death, that state you will attain without fail. Everyone's going to have to get settled quickly. Premitrangini, why are you so late? It's not good enough. Right? You're interrupting the whole class. Everyone just gets settled down. Right? You're coming too late. It's not acceptable. Hamrapur is okay, but the rest of you don't have excuses. So. Janeshwari should be on time. You're too late. Right? Try to be on time. It's too disruptive. So the famous example is that whatever we are thinking of at the time of death, that state we will attain without fail. So the Bhagavatam is teaching us that just like the drone is attacking the worm, so then the worm is meditating completely on the bee or the wasp, like that. So because that is what he's thinking of at the time of death, then automatically he takes birth as that particular entity. So that is the law of transmigration, that is the law of karma, that is the law that governs the material world. Whatever we are thinking of, then that's what we will become. What we are now is based upon what we were thinking of in our last life. That is why we have this particular form that we have. And whatever we are thinking of in the future, at the end of this life, that is what we will attain. So if you read the eighth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, what is the eighth chapter called? Attaining the Supreme. So Krishna is analyzing the moment of death. How to reach into our next life. So based upon what we are thinking of, what we are meditating on at the time of death, that's what we will attain without fail. So Krishna says, if you are meditating on your forefathers, you'll go to the forefathers. People are very attached to their families. Especially people from Indian culture. They're very attached to their families. So at the time of death, they will possibly reach into the next family. And if one is thinking of Buddhas, worshipping Buddhas, then you may take birth amongst the Buddhas. A lot of people worship Buddhas. Last week I was in Bali. So in Bali, they worship the Buddhas a lot. A lot of Buddha worship. A lot of that. They worship ghosts, and very, very common there. So then they'll take birth amongst those species, because that's what they're meditating on, that's what they're focusing on. Even in the, like in the main city, like the main town, they were doing like, it was like a yagya they were doing on the corner of the street in Bali. I didn't see it, but one of the devotees was staying with us. He actually saw. They were doing like some sort of yagya, but it was all tamasic. They killed an animal, and right there, this is on the street. There's people walking everywhere, and they're doing like a yagya there. But it's all very tamasic. And then he said that in the middle of the like the yagya, they're putting in place, chanting particular mantras and things. And then one of the people, because there was a group of people sitting around, one of them jumped up and started ripping out their own hair. Out of the head, and it's like screaming. So obviously, Buddha had gone into that person, And then he said five or six of them started doing the same thing. And this right in the street. You know, there's this American and Australian European tourists walking around. You know, imagine someone, you know, walking down Flinders Street. You know, there's people sitting on the ground and they all jump up and they start ripping hair out of their head and screaming like that. So this is the result of worshipping living entities in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of darkness. If you worship Buddha, so the Buddha will get into you, and then they will make you do all sorts of strange things. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, do not worship the Buddhas. Or he says, if you do worship the Buddhas, you'll go to the Buddhas. If you worship the forefathers, you'll go there to the forefathers. And then he says, if you worship the Devatas, you'll go to the demigods. This is also popular. People like to worship the demigods. But then Krishna gives his final instruction. He says, if you worship me, you will come to where I live. And you will attain a form like mine. A form which is? Sach Chit Ananda Vigraha. No? Krishna's form is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. And our form in the spiritual world is also eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. There is a slight difference between Krishna's form and our form. Because Krishna's form is the source of all power. We were discussing this in the Bhagavatam class this morning. We are known as Anu, which means we are very small, although we have the same constitution as Krishna, and we are fully spiritual, but we're insignificant in our potency. Whereas Krishna is unlimited in his potency. Even though his form looks virtually the same as ours, or our form looks virtually the same as his in the spiritual world. Yeah, but he is Vibhu, he means he's unlimited in power. So, if we do worship Krishna, then we will get a form like his. So he's recommending that in the Bhagavad Gita, worship me. And I will take you to where I am. And where I am, there's no birth, there is no death, there is no old age, and there is no disease. Does it sound like a good deal? Sounds good. So when we lose our attachment to this world, then we can go to Krishna's world. That's why Krishna makes this world a place of suffering. Hands up if you find this material world a place of suffering. Okay, it's pretty much unanimous. Okay. We're all in the right club. We all agree. But some people don't think like this. Sometimes I preach to people, and they say, it's not, you're too negative, you're too pessimistic. And the world's actually good. But then that's ignorance. Because the fact is, the world is a place of suffering. At least my life is mainly suffering, materially speaking. Spiritually, it's very blissful. But materially speaking, it's just suffering. If I wasn't a devotee, I'd just be completely miserable. Because we're a devotee, we have the opportunity to bring the service to Krishna, then we're very happy, very peaceful. But besides that, if you take devotional service out of the equation, basically it's just suffering. It's just misery. That is the material world. So Krishna wants us to come back to him, and he is encouraging us that somehow if we think of him at the time of death, we will go back to him. Now, the example is given in this entire section of the Bhagavatam, that even if you think of Krishna inimically or negatively, still you get purified. Why? Because you're thinking of Krishna. You're meditating upon Krishna. Now, what is the result of meditating upon Krishna? You become purified. Because if someone's very inimical, like Shishupal, and he's constantly thinking negatively towards Krishna, but then because Krishna is the final person in his consciousness at the time of death, at that moment, Krishna will reciprocate with him and purify him, and he will just think of Krishna in a very loving way, in a very favorable way. In other words, his lost bhakti, or his original state of consciousness, will manifest at the last moment. And because he thinks of Krishna favorably, then he will go to the spiritual world. The only people who don't go to the spiritual world are those who think of Krishna in an envious way, or who are inimical. Prabhupada has explained this earlier in the Bhagavatam, that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, many, many soldiers died looking at Krishna, because Arjuna was charging towards them. Arjuna shot them with his arrows, and at that moment, they were, the last thing they meditated upon was Krishna. So Prabhupada says, all those who were not envious, they went straight to Vaikuntha. Those who were envious, they merged into the Brahma Jyoti. They merged into Krishna's fall, or into the Brahman effulgence, like that. So they did not attain Vaikuntha, but still they were purified. But those who are not envious, they go all the way to the spiritual world. So that is the benefit. So Srila Prabhupada has said that if the non-devotees, if they see the Rath Yatra procession, they see Jagannath on his cart, and only for one moment in their life, a few minutes, they saw Jagannath, Prabhupada says, at the time of their death, their whole life will flash before their eyes, like fast forward, we will go, and when it gets to Jagannath, it will stop. And the last thing they'll meditate on at the time of death is Jagannath's face. And Prabhupada said that will purify them, like the sun purifies them. And then they'll take a higher birth in the next life. They have an opportunity to begin bhakti once again. It's a fact. I've told that story about my friend Atul Krishna Prabhu, his father. Many times I've told that story. His father only came to the temple for a few hours out of his whole life, but at the time of death, he was meditating on the temple. So this is the potency of Krishna consciousness, that at the time of death, even if you only have a little bit of association, you will think of that. Even if someone just takes one piece of prasadam during their life, at the time of death, they'll remember that prasadam, and that will take them to a higher destination. So any points?
Multicultural day
key.
Even before we had that, I still remember from last year, they loved the Prashad Mahat. There was a long queue. Before we had that, actually, the Prashad
Mahat. Where's the video?
Yes, posted it on the Facebook. We just going to ask permission from the school for the video of this.
Yeah.
And then we will post it on our website.
Okay. Good. Any other points?
I'll tell you one point. When you were telling about the suffering in this world, you were having a program in offering temple, and one young fellow stood up, no, there is no suffering in material. I got a nice flat, lot of money in the bank, I got a girlfriend, so for the money. Why should I worry? Young people think like this. They never think of any misery in the material.
Yeah, it's harder to think of misery when you're young. When you're a teenager and you're in your 20s. But then you see when people hit their 30s, their face begins to change. By the time they get to their 40s, they look quite different. Their 50s and 60s. The material energy just wears you down over time. Prabhupada actually said, last chapter I think it was, Prabhupada said the material, actually Prahlad Maharaj said, and then Prabhupada emphasizing these people, I said the material energy crushes you. And Prahlad Maharaj gave the example of the sugar cane. You know, you've seen the sugar cane go through the machine like that. So Prabhupada said that's what the material energy does to us. Hands up if you know what I'm talking about here tonight. material energy key.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's good. Good for devotees, it's auspicious because it makes us detached. If Krishna did not do that, then we would never become detached. And for the devotees, then Krishna speeds everything up. He makes it more intense. He purifies us more quickly to help us come back to Him. So you see devotees, their suffering becomes heightened, more intense. That's Krishna's mercy. It's good. Any other points?
He also prolongs life.
What's that?
Krishna can prolong the life of the devotee.
Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada. Is that in this section?
Yeah.
Yes, no problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can make our life longer if he desires. Okay. By devotional service, pure devotees who incessantly think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead receive bodies similar to his. This is known as Sarupya Mukti. Although Shishupal, Dantavakra, and other kings thought of Krishna as an enemy, they also achieved the same result. Sri Ram Prabhu, that's it.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in connection with Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Sanatana Goswami, it is explained that a devotee should externally execute his routine devotional service in a regular way, but should always inwardly think of the particular mellow in which he is attracted to the service of the Lord. This constant thought of Lord makes the devotee eligible to return home back to Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Tatra Deham Punarjanma Naiti Mameti. After giving up his body, a devotee does not again receive a material body, but goes back to Godhead and receives a spiritual body, resembling those of the Lord's eternal associate, whose activities he follows. However, the devotee likes to serve the Lord. He may constantly think of the Lord's associates, the cowherd boys, the gopis, the Lord's father and mother, his servants and the trees, land, animals, plants, and water in the Lord's abode. Because of constantly thinking of these creatures, one acquires a transcendental position. Kings like Sisupala Dantavakra, Kamsa, Pondaka, Narakasura, and Salva were all similarly delivered. This is confirmed by Madhvacharya. Pondaka Narake Chaiva Salve Kamsena Rukmani Avistastu Hare Bhaktas Tadbhaktya Harim Harimapya. Pondaka, Narakasura, Sarva and Kamsa were all inimical towards this Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because all these kings constantly thought of him, they achieved the same liberation, Sarupya Mukti. The Jnana Bhakta, the devotee who follows the path of Jnana, also attains the same destination. If even the enemies of the Lord achieve salvation by constantly thinking of about the Lord, what is to be said about the pure devotees who always engage in Lord's service and who think of nothing but the Lord in every activity?
Okay, so what are the points?
As we discussed previously, by thinking of Krishna, purifies the consciousness. So it doesn't matter even if you are inimical. Of course, devotee is always serving the Lord with great attachment and the community.
Any other points?
The internal consciousness reflects the external activity, and the external activity reinforces the external consciousness.
Any other points?
Can you further explain this first point of view? Because there is another instruction for the devotee, that the devotee externally executes the duty of emotional service, but inwardly he can talk about the fellow in which he is attracted to the Lord.
He just wants to elaborate on that. You just want us to elaborate on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll speak about that. So. Any other point?
For a devotee, there are many, many ways to think of Krishna.
Such as?
Such as his pastimes, associates, service, the way the pure devotees are done, and prasadam.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
So I find that when we do the deity worship, internally we seem to be developing object progresses to the higher level of relationship, and that gets reflected in the being of the people.
That's good. So, this is an important point to understand, because we have to understand the mood of our sampradaya. We are in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. We are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had a particular mood in which he worshipped Krishna. In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is like a purport or a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. The philosophy of the Bhagavatam is expanded upon in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you read the Adi Leela, the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that he has come to teach Rag Marg Bhakti. Because he says, if you read the Adi Leela, Lord Chaitanya says, the world is full of devotees who are worshipping me with awe and reverence. But where are those devotees who are worshipping me spontaneously? So Lord Chaitanya has specifically come to teach us about spontaneous worship, Rag Marg Bhakti, which means, as Prabhupada is explaining in this purport, devotees have to learn to externally do their sadhana, but internally begin to cultivate their eternal relationship with Krishna. So this is an advanced level of devotional service. This is not neophyte devotion, or this is not beginning bhakti. This is advanced devotional service. But we should understand that if we are following the process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then eventually we should come to an advanced level of devotional service. That is the whole point. We're not meant to stay neophyte devotees forever. We're not meant to be struggling just to follow the regulative principles and to chant our rounds forever. We're meant to actually develop a level of devotional service which becomes spontaneous, which becomes where we relish chanting the holy names of Krishna and hearing about Krishna. So this is what Lord Chaitanya has come to propagate and to teach us. So devotees, externally, they practice devotional service in the mood of a sadhaka. Sadhaka rupena and siddha rupena. This is taught by Rupa Goswami after he was instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that devotees, externally, they act like sadhakas. But internally, they have to cultivate a higher level of consciousness or a deeper level of relationship with Krishna. Now, this is the purpose of ISKCON. That is why Prabhupada established this. Because Prabhupada understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood and mission. So you see, from the very beginning of ISKCON, if you look at our morning program on a daily basis, it involves advanced levels of devotional service. If you look at Tulsi Aarti, right, and every day we sing these prayers to Tulsi, O Tulsi, beloved of Krishna, I bow down before you again and again. My desire is to become a servant of Shishi Radha and Krishna. Whoever takes shelter of you has his wishes fulfilled. Bestowing your mercy on him, you make him a resident of Vrindavan. My desire is that you also grant me residence in the pleasure groves of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Thus within my vision, I will always behold the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I beg you to make me a follower of the cowherd damsels of Braj. Please give me the privilege of devotional service and make me your own maidservant. His very fallen and lowly servant of Krishna prays, may I always swim in the love of Radha and Govinda. Right? So this is what Prabhupada gave us this from the very first day we moved into the temple. Does that sound like a neophyte prayer? Does it sound like basic devotional service? That's a very high level of devotional service. But that's what we've seen from the very first day we move into the temple. So internally, we're meant to be establishing that mood or imbibing that mood within our consciousness. What are you going to do? You're just going to chant your rounds, you know, for another 10 or 20 years, not meditating on anything higher than, you know, just trying to stay awake. Is that the level of consciousness that you're on? we're expected as time goes by, if we're following this process strictly and seriously, then we should be developing an interest to develop our eternal relationship with Krishna. That is the purpose of Lord Chaitanya's mission. And Lord Chaitanya will be satisfied when he sees the devotees are making advancement in Krishna consciousness. Not just practicing devotional service based on rules and regulations, but developing a spontaneous level of bhakti, or a spontaneous mood of devotion. So that is the purpose of Lord Chaitanya's mission. So Prabhupada is saying here in the purport, externally we should go on with everything that we externally go on with. We should distribute books, we should distribute prasadam, we should do all the basic ISKCON activities that we do on a daily basis. But internally, we should be cultivating our eternal relationship with Krishna. And in due course of time, we should be becoming attracted to Krishna in a specific relationship. Not prematurely, but that should be happening eventually. If we're seriously practicing the process, we should be reaching that goal. Then we know that we're fulfilling Lord Chaitanya's mood and mission. So, any points?
This reminds me of Mahaprabhu when he was in Venkat Bhat for 4 months in Jatamasya. He told Venkat Bhat and his brothers that your level of worship of Narayan and Lakshmi Narayan is very high, but there is something higher than that, which is Radha and Krishna worship. And ultimately, everybody, when he was leaving, they started worshipping Radha and Krishna. Venkat Bhat himself wanted to go with Mahaprabhu, either no. And Gopal Bhat cried so bitterly that Mahaprabhu made him stop for a few days to stop him. And every day he was giving his remnants to Venkat Bhat for 4 months. He became a pure devotee. That's what you were saying is absolutely that Mahaprabhu came to show us Raghunatha Bhakti and how to develop it. And the highest level of praying to Radha.
He used to tease Vyankata Bhatta. So your Lakshmi is the most chaste woman in the creation. But why does she want to come and meet with my Krishna?
Yeah.
The hope is that when you do the common thought and the hope is that that will automatically keep time, help and save up internally in that relationship, as mentioned earlier. But it looks like there needs to be an additional benefit to move that. So, would that be just chanting? Is that and contemplating on the topic of that you mentioned? So, you have preaching, running a center, and you have just your chanting at least. And that will hopefully get you a center.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Good luck, Manoj. The point is that the reason Prabhupada emphasized so much in ISKCON, and the reason he pushed his disciples so much in terms of preaching, because Prabhupada understood that we have to develop a pure devotional service to Krishna, especially in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, is based on a completely selfless mood of devotional service. So if you look at the way Prabhupada pushed everyone, because he pushed everyone, right? Much more than what we get pushed these days. But the way our gurus were pushed, you know, by Prabhupada himself, Prabhupada was extremely, you know, powerful in the way he extracted from them complete surrender and selflessness. Because that mood of surrender and selflessness, which is put into spreading the Sankirtan movement, is the same mood of the residents of Vrindavan in their selfless service to Krishna. So Prabhupada was trying to imbibe that within us. That's why he was doing that. So then, that makes us qualified to then begin to practice Rag Marg Bhakti. Because unless one has a selfless heart and is purified by surrender, one cannot take to that process. But then how does that process manifest? It manifests by the five most powerful elements of bhakti, which is chanting the holy name, hearing the Bhagavatam, specifically hearing the Bhagavatam, those Vrindavan portions of the Bhagavatam, or the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, associating with advanced devotees. Advanced devotees means Rasika Vaishnavas. Means Vaishnavas who have a taste for hearing about Krishna in Vrindavan. Worshipping the deities of Radha and Krishna, Gauri Nitai, Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, who are deities who are fully immersed in worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan. And then residing in the holy places of that. So if we engage ourselves fully in spreading the Sankirtan movement, then we'll develop the right consciousness. So then when we begin to cultivate or practice sadhana, following those, or practicing those five powerful things of bhakti, and then that will allow us to understand these higher levels of consciousness.
I suppose it also builds conviction and future association. Develop that kind of strength in the association, as all of us have come through that preaching. So you need to actually need both.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the mood. The mood of the residents of Vrindavan is to preach, is to spread Krishna consciousness. You know, Prabhupada himself is a resident of Vrindavan. And all of the acharyas are residents of Vrindavan. So that's the mood. When they come into this world, they preach Krishna consciousness. That's the mood. Any other points?
Just a question here. This is by devotion to the pure devotees. You simply think of the Supreme Lord. You see the bodily picture which is historical. But I thought pure devotees are basically sort of thinking about the five classes rather than becoming historical. Doesn't it?
Which part is it?
This is the translation.
People who incessantly think of the Supreme Lord receive bodies. This is known as Sarupi Mukti. So what's the point?
The pure devotees are basically not looking for any other mukti.
No, they're not looking for it, but they're meditating on Krishna. The previous verse says that if you meditate, whatever you meditate on, then you will attain that form. So because they're meditating on Krishna, they attain a form like his. Because you're meditating on Krishna. You're thinking, I want to serve Krishna. But because it's Krishna, Krishna, Krishna that you're meditating upon, then you receive a form like his. A spiritual form. Any other points?
Can we say that Prabhupada wanted us to be like Vridvasi? Resident of Vridvasi?
In what way?
Like pure love of Krishna in
Raghunath. Yeah, of course.
Bhavan used to give a lecture, he used to say that we want you to be Vridvasi.
Yeah. What did Prabhupada say in this book? You have to be a real Vridvasi.
Perform sadhana originally starts meditating on the one of the five levels. So in sadhana bhakti we find that there are two classifications, Vaidhi sadhana and Raghunatha. So is it that you're talking about Raghunatha sadhana, or it can even start manifesting from the devotee who's practicing just doing the Vaidhi sadhana bhakti?
Well, in ISKCON, even our Vaiti, or our very beginning of our devotional service, is mixed with Rag. Because we gave the example of singing the Tulsi prayers. The Tulsi prayers, that's Rag, Marg, Bhakti. So, from the very beginning, everything we do is mixed with Rag. From the very beginning. Even though we may be doing a lot of what we're doing based on Vaiti, or rules and regulations, and maybe fear-based in the beginning, but it's all mixed from the very beginning with Rag, Marg. So in due course of time, that needs to become stronger and stronger. The emphasis on worshipping Krishna in his aspect of sweetness, that needs to become more in our consciousness.
It's not that we have some earnest or complete eligibility, because Bhagavad Gita is really high profile. Everybody has to get advanced, or at least it can be taken very whimsically, and that's also very offensive.
Yeah, you have to be qualified. So it says that in the beginning we don't give up the rules and regulations. Then you have to chant 16 rounds, you have to follow four regulative principles, and you have to perform sadhana bhakti very carefully. But when you become more advanced, you still do all the same things, but internally you begin to cultivate your relationship with Krishna. And when you become very advanced in a specific mood with Krishna, it's still externally you still do all the same things.
For practice to be very well, is it that internally the mood, or is it by the mercy of a spiritual master at some point of time he gets the guidance, or is it Chaitanya Guru who has just try to understand? Otherwise one starts with the devotion service, maybe getting initiated, but still practicing devotion. So how is already set up the standard?
Yeah, it's up to the association that you're attracted to. There are devotees in ISKCON who are practicing Rag Bhakti. Our gurus, advanced devotees. So if you become attracted to their association, hearing from them, then you also develop that mood. Any other points?
I think that, if I remember correctly, about the Sishupala, I think he goes by region, not Sarajan.
Yeah, and then the next birth that he took birth is either Jagai or Matai.
Yeah, but after his soul merged into Lord Krishna, then that time he got Saiyajin. So when did he get Saiyajin?
Maybe in his next birth with the...
When he became Saiyajin.
Jagai Mother.
But Jagai Mother, I don't know.
No, but then from there, then they went back to be Jai and Vijay.
So they got started to Mukti after they became Jai and Vijay.
Anything else?
How do we know the internal mood of our Guru Maharaj in terms of relationship, the way he's cultivating with these Vijayalas?
You don't know.
So therefore, how do we follow him in terms of
his intent? If he wants to reveal it to you.
In previous discussion, you said that if you are careful in getting yourself attached to your spiritual master, you can find things in terms of how you get that.
Well, if you become eligible and advanced enough, he'll begin to guide you in that way. The first you have to become qualified. Otherwise, Prabhupada says, from within the heart, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, then he'll begin to guide you from that level. So it depends on you.
It's all about devotion, it's all about hard work, and it's really about hard work. The amount of hard work, actually, when you hard work, really hard work.
Rupa Goswami says it's based on lopa. Lopa means greed. So you have to become greedy. If you're greedy for something, you work hard for it. If you're not greedy for it, you don't work hard for it. So you have to become greedy. So it is explained by Prabodhananda Saraswati and others that if you worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Dasyaras, then if you dive deep into that ocean of worshipping Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Dasya, you will come up on the other side of the ocean on the shore of Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya Ras in Krishna's pastimes. So for us, now because we're not advanced, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur points this out in the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya, for the followers of Lord Chaitanya, we worship Lord Chaitanya in Dasyaras. And in due course of time, Lord Chaitanya will reveal the higher rasas to us. So in the beginning, we just serve Lord Chaitanya's mission and his movement. And by doing that sincere service, Lord Chaitanya will bless us, and then eventually, he will reveal to us our eternal relationship with Krishna and the higher rasas. So for us, we just meditate on dasya. We just try to become good servants of Guru and Gauranga. And then Gauranga will reveal himself as Raja. Okay? Everyone you asked me about, everything you asked me about how Shishupal and others attained salvation, although they were inimical, has now been explained to you by me. In this narration about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, various expansions or incarnations of the Lord have been described. And the killing of the two demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, has also been described. Jamunalila, would you like to read?
At the time of the incarnation, the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Govinda. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is the original person, non being incorrigible and incorrigible. Although he expands with the communication, he is still the original, and although he is the oldest person, he always appears as a fresh shield. Such eternal blissful and all known forms of the Lord cannot be understood by the academic wisdom of Govinda. They are always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees, namely the Satsang Guru. The Brahmacharya describes the avatars. Indeed, all the avatars are described in authentic scriptures. No one can become an avatar or incarnation, although this has become fashionable in the age of Kali. The avatars are described in the authentic scriptures, shastras, and therefore, before one risks accepting a pretender as an avatar, one should refer to the shastra. The shastras say everywhere that Krishna's original personality is followed, and that he has innumerable avatars for incarnation. Elsewhere in the Brahmacharya, it is said, Ramati Murti Shukala Nirvana Krishna, Rama Narsimha Varaha and many others are constitutive expressions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After Krishna comes Balaram, after Balaram is Sankarshan, then Anirudh, Pradyumna, Narayan, and then Purushottam, Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Shivodakshaya Vishnu. All of them are avatars. One must hear about the avatars. Narrations about such avatars are called avatar prasad, the narrations of Krishna's expansion. Hearing and chanting these narrations is completely false. Srinivasa Prasad Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. One who hears and chants can become Punya, glorified of material contamination. Whenever there are attempts to the avatars, religious principles are established, and humans who are against Krishna are killed. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world with two aims. To establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to kill all the pretenders who falsely present themselves as avatars. The preacher for the Krishna consciousness movement must carry this conviction very carefully within their heart and kill the demons who in many tactful ways vilify the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. If we take shelter of Natsimha Deva and Prahlad Maharaj, it will be easier to kill the demons who are against Krishna and to thus re-establish Krishna's supremacy. Krishna to Bhagavan Karan. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the original Lord. Prahlad Maharaj is our Guru and Krishna is a worshipable God. As advised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasad Devaya Bhakti Lata Bhi. We can be successful in getting the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj and also that of Natsimha Deva. Then our Krishna consciousness movement will be extremely successful. The demon Hiranyakashipu has so many ways to try to become God himself. But although Prahlad Maharaj was chastised and threatened in many ways, he rigidly refused to accept his powerful demonic father as God. Following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, he should reject all the rascals who pretend to be God. He must accept Krishna and his incarnations and no one else.
What are the points?
Bhakti Vinod Thakur was saying,
any other points?
second point is to skill the pretenders. First point is to establish the sense of being present.
Prabhupada's so bold in his statements. He says here we should kill the pretenders. Yeah, we give Prabhupada's books to new people. Prabhupada said we should kill the pretenders. His Prabhupada is so bold in his statements, the way he writes things, you know. It's very, very difficult for people to understand and sometimes accept what Prabhupada says. You give this to just someone who you're, give this to one of the people in your office to read, and Prabhupada says we should kill the pretenders. Well, that's very bold preaching. So, the first point is that Lord Krishna is the avatari, and all other incarnations are
avatars,
which means they are descending from Krishna. But he is the original Swayam Bhagavan, he is the original form of God. So, the original form of God is Brajendra Nandana. Brajendra Nandana is the son of the king of Braj. So this is the original form of God. So all the other forms are simply expanding from this original form. This is the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here we're hearing about Nisringadev. Right? Next canto we'll hear about which incarnation comes in the next canto. Mohini Murti? Yeah. Who else is in the 8th canto? Another incarnation? Is there? Vamanadev? Vamana? Mohini Murti? 9th canto, we'll hear about Lord Ramachandra. Like that. And then the 10th canto, we'll hear about the original form. So all of these other forms are the expansions of Krishna. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Now, Prabhupada said that if someone's an incarnation, it must be supported or authorized by the Vedas. You can't just say you're an incarnation of God. Even to this day, there's still people saying they're incarnations of God. And what would Prabhupada say? I kick on your face. What will you do? I kick on your face. Or he'd say, ugly God. God has become ugly. So these people, they're saying they're God. Even to this day, people are still saying they're avatars, they're God. So obviously this is a matter of, as Prabhupada explained, the cheaters and the cheated. People are cheating, and people want to be cheated. How can you accept these people would be God? What is their credential? Prabhupada said, if you are God, then show us your universal form. And then what do they say? They say, you don't have the eyes to see my universal form. So they're just cheating. So we do not accept cheaply like that. If someone is an incarnation of God, it must be authorized in the Vedas. When is the next incarnation coming? Right, another 427,000 years. Right? So if someone says, I am the incarnation of God, do you say, well, you're a little early?
Most of the God dies miserably.
What's that?
Most of the God dies miserably, like Sai Baba. You know, after they left, everything in chaos. You can see who was the claim to the God. They died with diabetic or they died with this disease, they died with that. So,
diabetic God.
Actually, wanted to show on the universal form. They had advertised. Then it never happened. Then they asked why means because the weather wasn't good.
So we don't accept these things. It's just cheap like that. It doesn't make any sense. For a man to say that he's God, it doesn't make any sense. Someone has to be qualified. If one's going to say he's God, you have to have a qualification. So unless it is authorized by the Vedas, we do not accept it. So there is no incarnation coming. There's no one mentioned. Right? For another 400,000 years, there's no one mentioned. So there's no use anyone saying, I am God, I am God, or I am the avatar. Although every week they're still coming out. They appear all the time. So in the second paragraph, Prabhupada says that if we hear about Krishna, what is the result? Krishna will cleanse our heart of material
contamination
and attachments. Srinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana kita vidyanta sohya badrani vidunoti sugripsatam. The Bhagavatam says that when we hear about Krishna, what is the result? The result is all the impurities in our heart becomes cleansed away. Krishna cleanses. When Krishna sees you're making a sincere endeavor to cleanse your heart, to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, he enters your heart, he manifests, and he begins to remove your material attachments. So if you want to remove your material attachments, Krishna will assist you. Because actually we cannot remove our material attachments by our own endeavor. We don't have the strength to overcome Maya. But if Krishna sees we are sincerely trying, then he will reciprocate and he will assist us. So that our material desires can be cleansed away. And gradually we'll feel that gradually the material desires are becoming less and less. And our attachment to Krishna is becoming greater and greater. And Prabhupada says in the third paragraph that we have to preach boldly to spread Krishna consciousness. And we pray to Guru and Krishna that we can be successful. So Prabhupada is very bold. He says that we must preach very strongly. We must even be prepared to kill the... Who does he say we should kill? Pretenders. So maybe in the future we'll have to do that. Maybe in the future that kind of preaching will happen, where the pretenders will have to be killed. It's not really at that point yet. But maybe in the future it will come like that. We'll just have to kill the pretenders.
Then we have our own government. So then the policemen decide us.
It'll be a lot easier if that's the case. Prabhupada actually says that if we have a majority of the population becomes Krishna conscious, those who do not want to become Krishna conscious, Prabhupada said, you can just hold the gun and you can say to them, chant Hare Krishna. and Prabhupada said, if they refuse, you just shoot them. He actually says that. But so we don't have to worry about that for the time being. It's not going to happen in the near future. But it may happen one day in the future that we become so powerful, the movement is so powerful, we may have to shoot the pretenders. Are you going to give up your bogus philosophy? No. Okay. Maybe they'll like it in the future. Probably not in our lifetime. Any points?
Tamalvin Goswami made a very good review. He did so many nice lectures about it.
Gods and demigods.
Very powerful.
Sri Prabhupada, I was just thinking, today we were thinking of a people, yada yada vishnama signal in both the Bhagavad, every time the Messiah, so he comes, whenever there is a time in this, he comes in his own original body. So he came as Krishna, and he just in the same body.
So what's the point?
I just wanted to know. He said yada yada, so he must have come many times to the same original body.
As Krishna?
Yeah. I know he became as Mahaprabhu, but what other incarnation he came?
He only comes as Krishna once in a day, Brahma. That's the point.
But there are 28.
I don't understand what you're trying to ask.
But there are 28 times.
That I know.
So he must have come at least 28 times.
He comes once in a day, Brahma. Once in 1,000 cycles of Divya Yugas,
yes.
He comes once. That's what's mentioned.
So apart from Krishna and Mahaprabhu, in what name did he come?
All the other incarnations. It means that every Dwapara Yuga is Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, Kali Yuga. Satya, Treta, Dwapara Kali, it goes, the cycle goes. So every time it comes to Dwapara Yuga, there is a blackish incarnation whose name is Krishna. But once in 1,000 times, that's the original Krishna from Goloka. The other 999 times, it is a form of Krishna from Vaikuntha. It's not the original form of God. Does that answer your question?
Now, this one, this, you got other forms. When did he come as Krishna himself?
5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago.
Yeah, but before that, when did he come?
I don't know. I don't understand you. Why don't you ask me after class? Because I can't understand what it is you're saying.
Okay.
Okay. Straight after Krishna, like that. Krishna came 5,000 years ago, and then 4,500 years later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. So that's the Swayam Bhagavan. So that happened in this particular cycle of Divya Yugas. But in the other 999, a Vaikuntha form comes, and then a Vaikuntha form also comes in the as the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga. He spreads Nam Sankirtan. He's also called Gauranga, he's also golden. But he's a Vaikuntha form, not the original form.
Very fortunate.
Seems like we're very fortunate. But we can't even stay awake when we chant japa. Every
those forms, did you know what you guys spoke of?
What's that?
Then the other Krishna and Vaikuntha. Bhagavad Gita is spoken?
Yeah, Bhagavad Gita is there all the time. Every time. Yeah. Please read the Bhagavad Gita. Okay. This narration describes the characteristics of the great and exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj, his staunch devotional service, his perfect knowledge and his perfect detachment from material contamination. It also describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of creation, maintenance and annihilation. Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers has described the transcendental qualities of the Lord and has also described how the various abodes of the demigods and demons, regardless of how materially opulent, are destroyed by the mere direction of the Lord. So Prabhupada explains, as he has in the very beginning, in the introduction Prabhupada says, the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with the absolute truth, and all subject matters within human society are dealt with in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada is again saying it here in this particular purport, that the Bhagavatam deals with all of the subject matters of human society. It gives us the answer for every single subject matter. And it gives us information about things which cannot be found anywhere else. In other places, you can't find information about higher planets. You won't find information about the Daityas, the Asuras, about races who live on other planetary systems. None of this is described. But in the Bhagavatam, it is described in detail. So all information is given in the Bhagavatam, and even things which are not described in other places, they're also.
Vishnu Purana also describes.
Yes, we were speaking more outside the Vedic tradition like that. They're not explained. There are other places, Vishnu Purana, Padma Purana, Brahma Vaibhava Purana, they're also explained. The principles of religion by which one can actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called Bhagavad Dhamma. In this narration, therefore, which deals with these principles, actual transcendence is properly described. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that we should hear the Bhagavatam from our childhood. At the very beginning of our life, we should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if we hear the Bhagavatam from the beginning of our life, then we'll have a much better chance of becoming Krishna conscious later in our life. Of course, it doesn't matter how we begin the race, it's how we finish the race. So even if we don't have the opportunity when we're young to hear the Bhagavatam, we can still catch up. In the Bhagavatam, the second canto, it explains about Katwanga Maharaj, who became Krishna conscious in one moment. So we can even become Krishna conscious in one moment. But of course, it's very much advantageous to begin this when you're in the Kalmari age. From the beginning of your life to the age of 5. Krishna consciousness should begin from the very beginning of childhood. Much more difficult. One who hears and chants the narration about the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is certainly liberated from material bondage without fail. Prahlad Maharaj was the best among exalted devotees. Anyone who with great attention hears this narration concerning the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, the killing of Hiranyakashipu, and the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisimhadev, surely reaches the spiritual road, the spiritual world, where there is no anxiety. So that is the potency of hearing about these pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj. That we can attain the spiritual world. That is how potent it is. So Prabhupada, the very much favored, out of the whole Bhagavatam, he very much favored this particular section, the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. So the more seriously we study, the closer we'll get to Krishna. So next Monday we'll have our revision of chapters 6 to 10. The following Monday, the 12th of August, will be the closed book exam. And your open book exams are due yesterday. And your oral presentation, they should be completed by now. If they're not, then please speak to Chandra Balabhi or Ananda Balabha or Murali Dharpa. And they will take care of it. Shall I provide a key? Yeah.